S.D. Gordon, a well-known Christian author during the last century, tells the moving story of how a group of people were preparing to make an ascent to the top of Mount Blanc in France in the Swiss Alps. On the evening prior to their climb, a Swiss guide called the group together and he outlined to them the prerequisites for success. He said that they would only ever make it to the top of the mountain by taking with them the absolute bare necessities for the climb. All other unnecessary accessories, he said, must be left behind. A young Englishman disagreed. And so the next morning, he turned up for the climb with, among other things, a brightly coloured blanket, several large pieces of cheese, a bottle of wine, some bars of chocolate, and a couple of cameras and tripods and lenses. The guide said to him that he would never make it to the top of the mountain with all of those accessories. The young Englishman disagreed. And so he set off to prove to the guide and to the group that he could make it and that the guide was wrong. The rest of the group followed on behind with the guide, only taking with them the absolute bare necessities for the climb. On their way to the summit, they began to notice certain things that had been left behind along the way. There was a brightly coloured blanket. There were several large pieces of cheese. There was a bottle of wine. There were some bars of chocolate. There were some cameras and tripods and lenses. Finally, when they reached the summit, they discovered that the young Englishman was already there. But only after having abandoned everything else along the way. And S.D. Gordon makes this very sobering application. He says, so many people, when they find that they can't make it to the top with all of their accessories, they let the top go and they pitch their tents on the plains below. And the plains below are littered and full of tents. My prayer for you as a church this morning is that you will not let go of the top. My prayer for you is that you might let go of all of your other unnecessary accessories, but that you will not let go of the top, the vision that God has placed before us, the vision of reaching the world with the good news of the gospel. I want to share with you on this theme of keeping this vision alive, and I redirect your attention to those words that Graham read to us from Romans chapter 12. I urge you, brothers. I implore you, brothers. I beg of you, brothers. It's a very, very strong expression that Paul is using here. I urge you that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, because this is your spiritual act of worship. Now, most sacrifices, as we know, are dead sacrifices. Indeed, the very word sacrifice presupposes something that has been slain. But here, Paul is urging us to present our bodies as living sacrifices. And if we are to keep the vision of mission alive, if we are to become a world Christian, then every part of our body needs to be presented to God as that living sacrifice. So that will mean, among other things, we will need to have a hearing ear. We will need to have a seeing eye. We will need to have a speaking tongue. We will need to have a generous heart. We will need to have bended knees. We will need to have going feet. Every part of our bodies, every part of our anatomy. I'm not sure if we've got doctors in our midst. I'm always a bit hesitant to speak about anatomy if there are medical people here, but I'm going to give you a little lesson in anatomy this morning. Let's start with our ears. If we are to keep the vision alive, we need to have hearing ears. Have you ever noticed the number of times when Jesus would say to the people of his day, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear"? The clear inference behind those words is that it is possible to have ears and yet not hear what Jesus is saying. And sadly, it seems to me that this has been the response, particularly of the church here in Australia, to the Great Commission of Jesus. We have not really heard what Jesus has so clearly said to us. You know, Jesus did not say to us that we should go and build hospitals. Jesus did not say to us that we should go and build homes for the aged, or orphanages for children, or Bible colleges to train pastors. Now, none of those things are wrong. And I thank God for the ministry that is taking place in all of those places, hospitals and orphanages and aged people's homes and Bible colleges. They are all important. They are all necessary. But the one thing that Jesus did say to his church to do is so often the one thing that the church has neglected to do, and that is to reach out with the good news of the gospel and share that good news with those who are unreached. We need ears to hear. The Great Commission is not just a request. It's a command. It's not just an option. It's an obligation. It's not just a function of the church. It is the church's supreme function, and what Jesus has made supreme, his church dare not make secondary. Our Lord's last great commission should be his church's first great concern. And so if we are to keep the vision alive, then we need ears to hear. I love that verse in Luke 11:28 when Jesus said, "Blessed are those, Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Secondly, if we are to keep the vision alive, we will need to have seeing eyes. I shared with you on Friday night that eyes that look are common. Eyes that see are rare. It was because Jesus saw the multitudes that his heart was moved with compassion upon them. The disciples also saw the multitudes, but they saw them more as interruptions or irritations. In fact, many times the disciples told Jesus to send them away. But Jesus saw them, and when he saw them, his heart was moved because he saw that they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And so he said to his disciples, "The harvest is so great. The workers are so few." On another occasion, he said to his disciples, "Why don't you open your eyes?" He said, "Lift up your eyes and see the harvest that is all around you." Open your eyes, as we saw on that video. Open your eyes. 4.5 billion people in our world today who are still unreached with the good news of Jesus. Open your eyes. We need ears to hear. We need eyes to see. And then thirdly, we need tongues that speak. We need to have a speaking tongue. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, we read one of the most amazing promises in all the Bible. Do you know it? It says, "Everyone," or in some translation, "whoever." Whoever, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that great news? Isn't that good news? But then it's followed by some fairly uncomfortable questions. Have you noticed that in Romans chapter 10? The question is asked, but how can people call on someone they don't believe in? And how can people believe on someone if they have not heard? And how can people hear unless someone speaks the word to them? They are sobering questions, aren't they? How can people hear without a speaker? And then in that same passage, Paul goes on to say, faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by someone speaking the word of God. We need to have a speaking tongue. Now, over recent times, we've heard a great deal about the speaking in tongues. I'm not talking about the speaking in tongues. I'm talking about using the tongue that each of you has to speak forth God's message. Very interesting to read Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit, remember, came down upon that little company of believers, descended upon them. Did you notice the very first thing that happened when they were filled with the Spirit? The very first thing, Acts 2:4 says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak as the Spirit enabled them. They began to speak. Now, that was not a speaking in ecstatic utterance that was not a speaking in strange or unknown tongues. That was simply a speaking forth of the word of God in known and intelligible languages. Now, why did God enable them to do that? I believe that it was in order to emphasize to those disciples that the gospel was for the whole world. It was in order to emphasize the fact that God wants every person in every tribe, in every village, in every nation to have the opportunity to hear the good news in his or her own native language. Remember, Jesus had just previously commissioned the disciples in Acts 1:8 that they were to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. And so in order to impress that commission upon them, the Spirit enabled them to speak forth the word of God. We need speaking tongues. We all have a tongue that God has given us to speak out, to speak forth the message of salvation. We need ears, we need eyes, we need tongues. And then fourthly, obviously our hearts have to be involved as well. We need to have generous hearts. Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. He didn't say that your treasure necessarily would be where your heart is, but he did say your heart would be where your treasure is. There's a very beautiful verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, concerning the Macedonian Christians. I love this verse. It says that first of all, they gave themselves to the Lord. And then they gave their substance to others. Notice the order. They gave themselves, then they gave their substance. It wasn't either or, it was both and. I would suggest to you today, you can't give of yourself without also giving of your finance. You can't do it. Oftentimes it's the giving of your substance or your finance that determines how much of yourself is really given. It's a sobering fact, but we need to be reminded of it, that whatever we keep, we will lose. Do you realize that? Whatever you keep, you're going to lose. Whatever you give, you will ultimately gain. Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And so if we are to keep the vision of mission alive, we will need to have generous hearts. And that's why you are introducing your faith promise over this weekend. God loves a cheerful giver. And then working down, we come to our knees. If we are to keep the vision of mission alive, we need to have bended knees. I am more and more convinced today that if our world is ever to be reached with the good news of the gospel, it will only be by the church upon her knees. We must advance on our knees. I love Patrick Johnson's words in the introduction to his book, Operation World. He says this, he says, prayer is not an optional extra, nor is it a last resort when all other methods have failed. Prayer is a first resource. That's true. We don't just pray for the work. Prayer is the work. Somebody said that when man works, but when man prays, God works. And it's in prayer that we become co-workers with God. Remember when Jesus challenged the disciples with the enormity of the harvest and the shortage of the workers, what did he say that they were to do? Pray. He said, pray and ask the Lord of the harvest to send out more workers. Prayer is fundamental, not supplemental. Prayer is a first resource, not a last resort. You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you can't do more than pray until you have prayed. And so we need to have bended knees. And then sixthly, if we are to keep the vision alive, we will need to have going feet. Going feet. Romans 10, verse 15. Quite an unusual verse. It says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Do you have beautiful feet? How much time did you spend getting your feet prepared to come to the service this morning? It's probably something that we didn't even think of. We groom our face and our hair and our clothes. I even had to borrow a tie for this morning because I forgot to bring one from Sydney. We spend a lot of time like that. But the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Beautiful feet are feet which are in the right place at the right time with the right message for the right person. A very beautiful example of beautiful feet comes in Acts 8 when Philip met that Ethiopian man and shared with him the good news of Jesus. The right man in the right place with the right message for the right person. We have another beautiful illustration in Acts 16. You may recall Paul wanted to go to a certain area, but he was not allowed to do so. And so he tried to go in that direction, but he was not allowed to do so. And then he had a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. And Paul went in response to that vision. Beautiful feet, the right man in the right place with the right message for the right person at the right time. Ultimately, that's the real crunch, isn't it? That's where the rubber touches the road. It's possible to have a hearing ear, a seeing eye, a speaking tongue, a generous heart, a bended knee, and yet still for people to remain unreached. Ultimately, we need people to go. Because if people do not go, others will not hear. And if they do not hear, they will not believe. And if they do not believe, they will not call. And if they do not call, they won't be saved. It's a life or death situation. We desperately need people with going feet. Those of you who were here on Friday night will recall that moving DVD of those five young men who were brutally martyred by the Alca Indians in the jungles of South America. That incident had a profound effect upon my life as an 18-year-old teenager. Shortly after that incident took place, Time magazine sent their top reporter photographer, a man by the name of Cornell Caper, to write an article about the incident for the magazine. On the night prior to his return to the USA to write the article, Cornell Caper called the five widows together. And he said to those five women, he said, "I have all the pictures that I need. I have all the facts that I need. You ladies have been most generous, most gracious in allowing me to read your husband's diaries and letters. You've answered all of my questions truthfully and honestly. But," he said, "there's one thing that I can't understand. And unless and until I understand that one thing, I can't write the article." "What is it?" said one of the widows. "What is it that you cannot understand?" "Well," said Cornell Caper, "for the life of me, I can't understand why your husbands went to such a godforsaken place in the first place. It doesn't make any sense to me." "Well," said one of the widows, "we can tell you in one sentence why our husbands went there. They went there in obedience to our Lord's last great commission." You see, just before Jesus went back to heaven, he said to his disciples that they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person. The Alca Indians are part of God's creation. The gospel had never been preached to them. Nobody in almost 2,000 years had ever gone to share the good news of Jesus with them. And so, in obedience to our Lord's commission, our husbands went there. "Yes, it is true," they said, "in the process they laid down their lives. But that's not the important point. The important point is they obeyed what the Lord Jesus had told them to do." And my friends, I want to say to you as strongly as I can this morning, the Lord Jesus has clearly commanded his church that we should go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person. Jesus has so clearly commanded us to go and to make disciples of all the nations. Jesus has so clearly commanded us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. We don't need any special calling. Jim Elliot said, "Perhaps all we need is a good kick in the pants. That's all we need." And so my challenge to you this morning is that you will take seriously, really seriously, what it means to be a world Christian.